So where are you from, man?
I'm from Oregon, bro. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in spirits, souls. I don't believe in afterlife. I'm not Christian. I'm atheist.
So what's the halal way to learn how to do that stuff?
There you go. I just told you. One second.
I believe in aliens.
Why would you put faith into aliens when you've never seen them, but you can't put faith into God?
Who's actually a Muslim, and we want good for Myron.
Yeah. My thing is, I always tell people, look, I grew up a Muslim. I was born a Muslim.
My family, half of them are Muslim.
You could take your Shahada right now. Do you want to?
Dude, I've done a lot of haram.
No, I'm not perfect either. Obviously, you know that too. If we die tomorrow, are we going to burn in an oven for committing zina?
I would recommend everyone have a look at Islam.
I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger.
Allahu Akbar.
Our brother in Islam, Eddie from The Deen Show, is creating the Deen Center, which is a masjid and a dawah center, which is going to help non-Muslims learn about Islam, inshallah. And the most beautiful thing about this is that we can all be a part of this. We can all take part in earning rewards from this simply by donating whatever we can to make this a reality, which is beautiful. Let's do that, all right? Let's click this link. Let's donate what we can, and let's make this a reality, inshallah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. We have a lot to cover here, and we're going to, as usual, we're going to encapsulate the truth and deliver it to you in a way that many of you can relate to with my next guest, Ali Dawa.
Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God whose name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad. Peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
I love you very much. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing, brother Eddie?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. How you doing, brother? All the way from London.
Yes.
How you been?
Alhamdulillah, good wallahi. Good. Can't complain. Yeah, alhamdulillah, amazing wallahi. Happy to see you.
Happy to
join you, inshallah, soon.
Yes, looking forward to it, inshallah, soon.
Same.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. Before we get into the main discussion, there was something else that came up. For those that don't know, Neil deGrasse Tyson is an American astrophysicist, author, and science communicator. Tyson, he studied at Harvard University, the University of Texas. So he's pretty much a man of science. And he was one of those who was saying, follow the science. And now he has this to say. I'm going to get your reaction.
Point is, apparently, the XXXY chromosomes are insufficient. Because when we wake up in the morning, we exaggerate whatever feature we want to portray the gender of our choice. Either the one you're assigned, the one you choose to be, whatever it is. And so now, just to tie a bow on this, I say to you, I think I read that the United States was a land where we have the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
Suppose no matter my chromosomes, today I feel 80% female, 20% male. I'm gonna put on makeup. I'm gonna do that. Tomorrow I might feel 80% male. I'll remove the makeup and I'll wear a muscle shirt. Why do you care?
Yeah.
What business is it of yours to require that I fulfill your inability to think of gender on a spectrum?
Is that other brother with you? What's his name? Zeeshan?
Yeah, he's here.
Zeeshan, where's he at?
Come here, Zeeshan.
Where's my brother Zeeshan?
He's here, the man with the plan. If he can't, nobody can.
How you doing, brother?
Assalamu alaikum, bro. How are you? Okay, yeah?
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How you doing? I heard you in the background. How you been?
Yeah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, bro. Yeah, just trolling the Deen Show, you know, trying to get famous.
So have you guys both heard of this Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I watched it yesterday. I'm actually, that's why when I was watching it, I was a bit confused because I went to Zeeshan. I said, is he pro or against? Because the video, it seems like he's against at the beginning. So I'm confused. I'm like, is he against or is he pro? I'm still confused. He said to me, no, he's actually pro LGBTQT.
Which he's is surprising because he's supposed to be a scientist. He's supposed to be academically, intellectually honest. A lot of people, when they're atheists, they say, look, when it comes to science, it's objective and, you know, we can take it and, you know, we rely on it over God and over testimony. So, hey, you've got a scientist now that's using the same framework and he's arriving at the conclusion that you can wake up and you can be a man. The next day, you can wake up as a female. So it'll be interesting to see what these atheists have to say, frankly.
It seems like now this is anti-God, obviously anti-science, this satanic rhetoric. And there's a great statement that the only necessary thing for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So we're trying to do something to combat this. And obviously this is coming from people who you would think, you know, would come out and speak up, but against this because they're scientists, but they're actually speaking towards this what do you want to call it? I mean, this madness.
You know, the most, it's hopefully it won't be a shock to most people, but the way things are at the moment, the LGBT are heavily, especially the LGBT lobby is heavily funding two aspects in particular. And one is, of course, education. That's why they're on the board of a lot of these universities, especially in the US. And then they're funding the medical industrial complex, which some argue is actually more prominent than the military industrial complex, because that's where most of it's going to happen. So there's a lot of big bucks to be had from, of course, peddling this LGBT thing. And they've definitely got their kind of eggs in the right basket, and they're leveraging people like this. Frankly, you can't necessarily be an academic who wants tenure, who wants credibility, who now will openly go against LGBT. I mean, that's what we're seeing with Neil deGrasse Tyson. We're going to see he's going to be one of many, and no one can kind of make this claim, I don't think so, that science is objective and, you know, we can use it to determine X and Y, which I don't think anybody in their right mind does. Ali, would you agree?
So when you say X and Y, you're talking about X and Y chromosome, yeah?
Come on, G.
Okay.
What's the situation there in London where you guys are there's a big Muslim community there. Is there a good pushback against a lot of this in the schools? Because primarily, you know, this is what's happening here is probably happening over there. They're pushing this sexualization of the children in the schools. So that they're having this pretty much pornographic content for 4, 5, 6-year-olds they're showing. And then when, for instance, you have someone who stands up and shows this stuff and starts reading from these books at a board meeting, even the board members are like, hey, slow it down. We what are you doing? Mm. And then the person is like, hold on, you can't even hear me reading this, but you want to show this to the children? Exactly. Or they'll actually blur it out on the news, but they want to show this to the kids. What's going on over there in your part of the world with this?
I mean, over here, it's you can't say it's unexpected, but the only kind of religious group that's actually coming to the front are Muslims. And you'll see even the people that are anti-Islam, like the far right and the right wing, even they are appreciating the fact that we're coming forward. But the problem is that because we're the ones with the loudest voice, it gets turned into a religious thing. And unfortunately, not much gets done. I mean, we saw it in Birmingham as well. Remember when, you know, Muslim parents said they had enough. We even saw in Canada as well. And there was a Canadian pastor that came forward. We put it on s2jnews.com that he came forward and he said, you know what, thanks to the Muslim community. But the thing is that, I mean, Muslim community comes with a sort of kind of stereotype and a propaganda, and the media loves to kind of bash us. So for it to be more effective, we're going to need the Orthodox Jewish and Orthodox, or just the Christians in general, to come forward as well. It's going to have to be a team effort. But I don't know if that's going to be happening, but rest assured the Muslims will not take this lying down, frankly. And that's what we're seeing over here. There is constant challenges by parents. There is a pushback. But unfortunately and sadly, we're seeing UK, I mean, tag along with what's going on in the US as well. What do you think?
No, no, same.
All right. Thank you for the input on that, guys. Let's keep moving along. I want to see recently there was a video that you made, Ali Dawa. And I don't know if you're familiar with the, what did you call it? The Fresh and the Fitna? What is it called?
The Fitna and Haram.
Fitna and Haram. Yeah. So let's go ahead. And I don't know if you're also familiar with this this young brother. Recently, he accepted Islam. A lot of the youth follow him. Sneaky, what's his name?
Sneeko,
yes, the new generation coming up. Yeah, and let's get into a couple videos first here.
Yep.
To kind of see some of his views on a few things. And then I'm really impressed that he's actually calling people to Islam.
Yeah. Yeah, mashallah, he seems sincere.
And you just want to protect him. Just naturally, you feel more like a man because you want to protect and you want to provide for her. You just want to create that nice environment for this beautiful feminine woman. And then you realize there, like, the amount of bullshit that you need to put up with these women in America, how combative they are. Everything in the culture is steering them away from being feminine. It's like now you, this, it's just the Cardi B thing. You need to be the tip-top guy in order to make a woman submit, but women are happy to just do that in Japan.
What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's true. This is what it is. Islam has given a solution to all problems in all matters, from marital disputes to business to riba interest to sex outside of marriage. Islam is a holistic way of dealing with these matters, and Islam deals with it at the core, and its main principle is that prevention is better than cure. So the thing is, it goes back to, you know, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see this with different people in different aspects. When they see that there is no solution, what they do is they obviously start seeking. Either they try to start a movement, which the red pill did. So with Sneeko and Myron and the rest, they started this movement because they saw that the degeneracy and whatever's going on, you know, and to be honest, you know, the things that are going on, and they try to make their own movement. And when people when somebody's sincere, when they come across Islam or a specific way of life, you know, which Islam is the only one, to be honest, and they see that, they're like, you know what, this has already been here from day one. We just need to follow this. We don't need to make our own movement, because our own movement is going to come with its flaws. That's why I done a video about Fresh and Fit. You know, because at the end of the day, yes, I understand they are trying to deal with an issue, but they are human beings, and anything that's man-made is never going to be perfect. So that's why they would come with stuff like, oh, sleep around and do this and do that. There is truth to some stuff that they say, but that's why if you look at people like Sneeko, when you're sincere, like Andrew Tate as well, when they came across Islam, they said this gives a perfect solution. So they came to Islam, and alhamdulillah, it's a solution to many of the problems. And that's why you see these prominent individuals who are coming to Islam, they're flocking to Islam, and I think it's a miracle, you know, in the sense, like, Islam is one of the most, you know, hated religions, misconstrued, misunderstood on purpose. And Islam has been attacked the past decade or so by individuals, and the main arguments they have is Islam is intolerant. But now you see people are coming to Islam because of its intolerance. Like, to me, it amazes mm-hmm. me that they are coming to Islam because of his intolerance. Total which flip, shows, huh? It's in the hands of Allah.
Yeah. So he's on point here. I mean, this goes with Islam that calls the man to be masculine. And obviously masculine doesn't mean that he's, like, you know, oppressor or whatnot.
Of course not.
He's a maintainer, protector of his family. And then it calls for the woman to respect her husband and to be feminine, right? Where it's not this, like he's talking about, it's always this, like, two rams now trying to figure out who's in charge who's, this correlates, huh? With Islam, feminine versus masculine. Let's go into this next one here.
So where are you from, man?
I'm from Oregon, bro. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in spirits, souls. I don't believe in afterlife. I'm not Christian. I'm atheist. I believe in aliens.
Why would you put faith into aliens when you've never seen them, but you can't put faith into God?
I will believe in a higher power, but I'm not going to believe like Christians.
Okay, so Christianity seems to be the problem, but you believe that there's one higher power?
Yeah. It has to be something.
There has to be a creator. You're a Muslim. That's what Muslims believe.
Well, I don't think like one person.
It's not one person. We don't draw God the way Christians do. Muhammad brought the final message of God. I mean, you could take your shahada right now. Do you want to?
Dude, I've done a lot of haram.
Once you become a Muslim, you're forgiven.
I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and there's none worthy of worship but Allah. And Muhammad is the messenger.
Allahu Akbar.
He went from mocking to getting exposed to Islam and having some debates. And then he ends up accepting Islam. And now he's doing dawah. He's actually got, he's calling people to take their shahada. What do you think?
Did Sneeko ever mock Islam?
At one point, yes.
Did he? I didn't even know that. Okay, interesting. But again, it just shows, you know, there was people who were, you know, more misguided than that who came to Islam. So yeah, it's amazing. I didn't actually see that video. That's quite impressive. Yeah, like, alhamdulillah, you know, it's nice to see, you know, when somebody really internalizes, you know, with me as well, like when I first came to Islam, it's the same thing. When you realize what Islam is and what it gives to you, once you truly, truly, you know, understand it, you know, and when Iman enters your heart, faith enters your heart, then it's something that you want to share with the world, you know. And that's why I don't blame him. I totally relate with him, where when you are practicing this faith and you've been lost, you've been blinded spiritually, you know, your heart's been blinded, and then you find the truth, you want to share it with the world. And that's what I see in Sneeko. Like right now, you know, I knew he was doing dawah, but I didn't know he was getting shahadas as well. So I'm very happy, very pleased. And yeah, may Allah keep him firm and increase him in knowledge. And yeah, look, at the end of the day, not myself, I'm Muhammad Hijab, and many other people who are out there can help him with his intellectual arguments to sharpen it, to be, you know, more in line with the Quran, Sunnah, alhamdulillah. So I think it's great. It's a great asset. And I think he should definitely get in contact with Muhammad Hijab, Hamza Zortes, many other brothers like that, inshallah, and sharpen up his skills, because he's definitely got the potential, the style, you know, the eloquence. You know, the guy, mashallah, he's got great potential, and it'll be amazing to see him. You know, he can be, you know, Sneeko Dawah.
Sneeko Dawah, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also, he's went out of his way. He connected with Sheikh Uthman also.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, alhamdulillah, it'd be good. There was another, this guy, I thought about you guys there, because I interviewed a young, this is another young brother. Mm. He's probably around 21, I believe. And he was connected with someone that you know, that you had many encounters with. What was his name? No, he wasn't connected with him, but he ended up, get this. So there's this comedian actor named Owen Benjamin. I don't know if you've heard of him. Owen Benjamin, he was with the likes of like Joe Rogan on his podcast and Hollywood and whatnot. Anyways, he went from being a screenwriter for the Louder for Crowder show. Okay.
Okay.
And he went, and this is where you come in. He wrote the theme song, or a song for, what's that guy that you were confronting many times?
Tommy Robinson.
Tommy. Yes, Tommy Robinson. So look, big Islamophobe, mocking Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He went to Louder for Crowder. Tommy Robinson writing songs for him also, some theme anthem that he used to sing. To actually changing his ways, started talking positively of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He actually says, peace be upon him.
Wow.
Denouncing much of the Trinity, so close to accepting Islam. But the way he was talking got this guy that I just interviewed, this brother, his name is Ibrahim now, and he ends up accepting Islam because of this guy.
Wow.
It's amazing, huh? How things just turned around.
That's amazing. Who is this person?
He's from Scotland. He's from Scotland. Yeah. Wow. So he's I'll have the program out. I'm sure maybe you've seen some of his stuff, but... So this is just to go in line. This is how things can go ahead and change. It's amazing.
Exactly. You know, it's like that. Like I said before, you know, we've dealt with the, we've been dealing with the atheists, the Christians, the hostile ones, by the way, the atheist Christians, you know, we had the Zionists, you know, the ex-Muslims, you know, who have now all disappeared, you know, you know, there's no more money to be made. So you can see all of these people, and the main thing they were capitalizing on was, you know, Islam's treatment of this, Islam's treatment of that, the capital punishment. And now it's crazy. It's the biggest slap in the face that one of the most searched man on earth, and many people like him who are flocking to Islam, and they are flocking to Islam because of Islam's stance. So the Christians think that the more you're tolerant and the more you're like, yeah, we accept everybody, and yeah, whatever it may be. And you're going against your own scripture, by the way. Your scripture doesn't say that. Your scripture does not say we accept everybody. Jesus clearly says on the last days, he will come and he'll be slaughtering people, you know, that those didn't believe in him. So you're going out there and portraying, literally turning your back against your religion, and it still didn't work. Whereas Islam and the Muslims, we stuck by and said, yes, Islam, yeah, there's those punishments in there. Yeah, 100%, and we accept it. And it's the haq. And what's happened now is that we didn't back down. Those who backed down left their religion, because they had an inferiority complex. Now you are seeing people flocking to Islam. Why? Because of Islam's intolerance, because of Islam's principles, because of Islam's way. Is that not a big slap in their face? Just imagine for 10 years the effort they were putting, and they were thinking they were making some points, and this, and the Prophet's marriage to Aisha, and the capital punishment for the ex-Muslims, and this and that, and now you've got people flocking. It didn't work. It didn't cause people to not come to Islam. It's caused more people to come to Islam. I genuinely see this as a miracle. I see it like it's so profound. Imagine that, given your effort and time to make Islam vilify it, and the very thing, the arguments you're using, are the reason why people are coming to Islam. You can't make this stuff up.
Amazing. Subhanallah. Let's get into this next video. This is interesting. This was brought to my attention, and it goes with in line with many things we're going to be talking about. And this is the individual, Sneeko, that we just were talking about.
Yeah.
He did a reaction to a video you did with a Muslim who is part of this Fresh and Fit or...
Yeah, Myron.
Yeah. Yes, Myron, who's actually a Muslim, and we want good for Myron.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and get into this, and we'll get your reaction. We'll discuss this.
When Entertainment Mike kept saying haram for like a lot of women sleeping around, but apparently he's saying like there's 100 lashes for men too.
Yeah, I've known that since I was a kid. But remember, when we were having that discussion, I wasn't framing that conversation in the context of Islam.
Let's give a little bit of a background. So you actually did, can you break down, you did a video and give an introduction to what they're actually talking about?
So in the video, there is basically, they're just talking about how basically this perception that it is haram for a woman to sleep around. But the way they make it out to be is, and I think, yeah, like, I don't think Myron really came from it from a religious angle. I think it was more Sneeko and the other brother. But I've seen this around. But again, as a Muslim, I know Myron doesn't claim to be a perfect Muslim and he wants to practice. And I saw this video, it was sent to me yesterday, I didn't know. And he was admitting that he wants to become better, etc. And I admire that. Look, I'm really happy. In two occasions in the video, he mentioned that maybe I'd done the video for clicks. And yeah, I would say, look, it could come across like that. At the end of the day, maybe the world that he's in, a lot of people do things for clicks and etc. I'll be honest with you, you know, you can't open my heart, but I didn't do it for the clicks or the views. I done it because genuinely, I was like, why are they keep repeating this? Because at the end of the day, our religion tells us in the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, that you should be just, even if it's against yourself or your kin, even if it's my dad or my mom, whoever it is, I have to be just. So when these elements, if that was a Muslim sister talking about this, everybody would go mad. But why is it okay for a Muslim man, I don't care if he's practicing or not practicing, to make it seem as if it is okay for a man to sleep around? And that's the reason I've done that video, to say, look, this is not correct. Because the punishment for zina is the same for a man and a woman. The punishment, if you are not married, is the same. If you're married, the capital punishment is the same. If you die, the punishment in the hereafter is the same. So I've done that video just to kindly tell them, you know, that they shouldn't be repeating this, etc. And yeah, that was it, really. Like, that was the main point, the crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what it revolves around. Let's continue on.
I was framing that conversation in the context of human evolution and human biology and what men actually want. It was, if you notice, I never mentioned anything about the Quran. It's that was Salim me, yeah. And you that are mentioning Salim, yeah. The Islamic stuff. But like, and here's the thing. I know I'm not the best Muslim, so I rarely, if ever, bring Islam into the situation. Like, I never try to rationalize how I do things with Islam. And my thing is, I always tell people, look, I grew up a Muslim. I was born a Muslim. My family is very religious, but I pretty much end it there. And I never try to talk about the book or talk about the religion to justify the way I behave, right? Now, with that said, this conversation, I was talking strictly human evolution, biology. Most men, if given the choice, will prefer more women. I never mentioned anything with Islam, and that's, you know, I guess maybe he's thinking like, because Salim was mentioning it and like you had mentioned it a little bit, that like we're all kind of in collusion to talk about Islam in this situation. In my situation, no, I was just strictly referring to human evolution.
That's fair. Yeah, you never bring it up in...
I never bring it up in my debates. Like, girls will ask me, why do you want four girls? I'm like, well, the way I was raised, you know, you can have up to four wives, etc. Ha ha ha, it's kind of a joke. But, you know, eventually I'm going to find a deen and come back and everything else like that. And have, you know, my plan is to become a better Muslim and have four wives. But right now, I'd be lying to myself if I said, oh, yeah, I'm a great Muslim right now. Like, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite.
You've never made that claim.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, But yeah, I think that's what it is. He's critiquing this, but it's like, I'm not even making the Islamic arguments.
That's true. So. That, you kind of blame me and Salim for that in this video.
Yeah, Salim.
that's our fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me kick it off. So here's what I can really respect about the brother. And we both want good for this brother. And we, coming from a background myself also, who is somebody who went through a similar lifestyle you did also, I like the point where he doesn't justify his behavior Islamically. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of myself. Anytime back in the day when anybody would start talking about God, you know, people throw different topics around, I would shut my mouth. I would just, out of respect, I would be quiet. Mm. And it seems like he's even though he's doing certain things that he shouldn't be doing, inshallah, he changes his ways. He's saying that now I never tried to use Islam to justify the way I behave. He's acknowledging that. What do you think?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, like I admire the fact that, you know, he's saying that he wants to become practicing one day, etc. And look, it's never too late for that. And I think he should really, really capitalize on that, because at the end of the day, he's lived a specific lifestyle. And you need to understand that. I'll get the ayah for him. I think it'll be very powerful. I'll try to find it. Because there's a very powerful verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says that Allah sends signs. And he sends these signs over and over again until the person is adamant in his way. He's adamant in his way. Then Allah says in the Quran, which I'm going to open the verse specifically, inshallah, that Allah says, then we open the doors to everything. Meaning, we give this person a sign and sign and sign again to turn back to us, to repent, turn back to us, repent. If he persists, we will open the doors for him. Meaning, the stuff that he was so pursuing so much, be it woman, money, cars, whatever it may be, earning this in a haram way, because there's halal way to go about this stuff. And then Allah says, we open the doors for him. And when he thinks, you know, when he's boasting as if he's, you know, reached those heights or whatever it may be, we snatch his life. We take his life suddenly. Allah says suddenly, we take him. So to me, it's like, look, I come from a jahiliyyah. Brother Eddie used to, you know, clubbing, partying, all this kind of stuff. Girls, you know, there's a certain time where I was questioning myself. I'm 34 years old. Myron is 1 year younger than me. And I used to ask myself, like, imagine myself living that lifestyle to this age. I mean, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know if I would maybe lose my mind, be on drugs, suicidal. I mean, what would I be doing? I couldn't imagine myself repeating the same cycle over and over again. I would say to my dear brother Myron, you know, genuinely when I did that video, I was not doing it for clicks. I wasn't doing it for this or that. I genuinely done it because at the end of the day, these non-Muslim women should not think and be under the assumption that Islam says one rule for a woman, another rule for a man. No. Because it's a big, big misconstrued, you know, it's a lie. And I'm not saying Myron said that. But the point is what it happened in the show. So I would say, my dear brother, you know, you're our brother in Islam. We have love for you. Like, I genuinely didn't do that to capitalize on your name or this, that, etc. Genuinely, I didn't. I done it because I don't want my religion to be seen a certain way, you know. So that's why I done that video, because I know a lot of people watch your video, and those people that watch your video, I mentioned you guys so they can watch a Muslim reacting to that. So it's never too late. Repent, because there are certain things that you mentioned, which I don't want to repeat, you know, the lifestyle that you're living. My brother, when is the time going to come? You can die any second. Who has given you? Who's promised you? So I'm just saying to you this as your brother, that I've lived that kind of lifestyle to an extent. Maybe not as, you know, wild as you guys do. But stop and say, you know what? Allah has given me an option. You know, you can have four wives like you said. Bro, go get four wives. It's all day, every day. You've got the money. You can manage. You can, you know, be just to them, etc. Go and get married. Go about the halal way. It is impossible for us to say that a man desires something, but Allah hasn't given a solution. Allah has. Brother, four wives are more than enough for you. I promise you, two wives is more than enough. More than enough. In today's time, I wouldn't recommend any brother to get more than two wives. Three, bro. Even if you're even if he was a multi-millionaire, how are you going to... It's hard. The kids, two wives... Perfect, alhamdulillah, yeah? So brother, go get your wife. Firstly, repent. Number one, accept and say, you know what? I've lived that lifestyle. Allah has allowed me, enabled, he's given his mercy out of his mercy, that I haven't died with these sins. These are going to be all in your account, Aki. It's not hard to repent, wallahi. Please, go and repent, number one. And the condition of repenting is what? Number one, you hate the sin. Yes, dislike the sin. Don't be proud of the sin. Number two, try to stop the sin. And number three, try not to go back to the sin.
This is, and if you make a sincere repentance, Allah is the most merciful, the most forgiving, inshallah. You've got nothing to lose to repent. Please, Brother Myron, whoever is watching this, repent as we speak, inshallah. I'm saying it for your own good. You don't need to announce it. If you're watching this, you're hearing this, go home, repent and say, my Lord, forgive me. Guide me. Accept my repentance. Be sorrowful. Hate the sin. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, Allah accepts it. Because if you die on that, my brother, yes, we know that eventually the Muslims, I think you mentioned this as well, that eventually the Muslims are going to enter paradise. He said, Ahlul Kitab, we don't believe that. We don't believe the people of the book will eventually enter paradise. They would, if they die on disbelief and know Islam is the truth, it's eternal hellfire for them, if they know Islam is the truth. So, as a Muslim man, if you die, you don't want to visit hellfire. Hellfire is not a beach. It's not somewhere where you're like, oh, I'm just going to go stop there for a couple of weeks, have a little holiday. I don't even want to go near hellfire. I do not want nothing to do with hellfire. Zero. I don't want to know it. I don't want to see it. And of course, as believers, we're going to, Allah's going to show us it. But obviously, we won't be scared, inshallah. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah says in the Quran, the believers will not grieve, nor shall they fear. So, we want nothing to do with hellfire. I want nothing to do with the punishment of the grave. I don't want nothing to do with the displeasure of Allah. So, all I'm saying is to my brother Myron, there's a few things you mentioned, etc. Repent, my brother. Wallahi, Allah is the most merciful. And Allah says in the Quran, all my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not ever despair the mercy of your Lord. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. So I would invite my brother Myron, inshallah, please, for the sake of Allah, just repent in private, bro, and just slowly work on yourself. And believe me, and one last thing, I don't want to give a lecture. One last thing, my brother. I know I've lived a lifestyle. Yeah? There's certain habits that I had that I thought, I don't know how I'm going to let go of these. I don't want to go into detail. I really hated it. I hated the sin. And I was like, how do I let go of this? And any time you have a doubt about yourself, which I did, and many people, not a single person on this earth can leave a sin by himself. Not a single person in this life can practice by his own will. Not just that. Anytime you doubt and say, that thing is too hard, I can't do it, just remember you're right. You can't do it, but Allah can make you do it. When you have Allah on your side, He can make you do it. The most impossible thing that you'd be like, oh, I can never do this, wallahi al-azim, Allah will make you do it. You'll be even shocked. And that's how I left certain sins. Because Ali couldn't do it. But when Ali turned to his Lord and said, my Lord, I can't do it, you help me, indeed Allah came to the rescue. Allah came and helped me and gave me the power and the strength, or whatever it may be, from the seen or the unseen, that I left that lifestyle. And there is nothing special about me. There is nothing special about me, Aki. I just asked and I got it.
So we're here with Ali Dawa. We're doing a reaction to a reaction. So they were reacting to your video.
Double reaction.
Double reaction. It's the double reaction. I like what you said. And this is real important. And this is out of the love that we're reaching out to these brothers. And inshallah, this could be a benefit. And I see in both of them, you know, because you look back and you see where you were, where they are now, and you want people to come out. And I'm seeing Sneeko also part of my past. You know, when I start practicing, you want all your boys to become your brothers in the deen, right? So now he's sitting there and he's actually indirectly, subtly, he's giving dawah to the brother. What's his name?
Myron.
Myron. So he's actually doing this. He's calling, sitting him down, and now the message, Allah is sending signs through Sneeko to Myron. How what else can it be? It's amazing. If he really reflects, this is another sign. Another thing, Ali, is that many people, they really get deceived. You heard him say that he wants to come back. Eventually, I'll find the deen and come back. Who guarantees you that? Who guarantees you're going to live till tomorrow? You know, and I make an example. I tell people often, I say, look, it's like every day you're acquiring more and more felonies. Imagine now. And I think he used to be a cop or something. So imagine someone who's just every day acquiring more and more felonies. And at any time, the police now can come and lock you up for life. Imagine. So these crimes now that we're doing against the Creator, against the law, against ourselves now, at any day, the angel of death can come, snatch your soul. And now you didn't accept the signs that are coming to you. And you think like, you know, I can go back and redo the test. Once the test is over, it's finished. Once the police lock you up, that's done. You can't go and say, oh, give me another chance. I'm not going to carry, you know, the coke in the back or break the laws. I'm going to be, you know, a good citizen. No, but Allah is giving you time right now to go ahead and just turn back and get things right.
And what does it, and what does it require? Just repentance.
That's it, tawbah. Simple. And now what's the thing? And have a simple, his thing I can see is that addiction to women now. And this is زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ هُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. This is, it's in the Quran. The things that men desire, you know, want to covet the most. Number one is women. So do the nikah.
Yeah, bro, just, if you think about it, Aki, it's a matter. A nikah takes 5 minutes between halal and haram. I find it amazing. I can remember when I was getting to know my wife for marriage and we had marriage meetings, you know, where we would meet, you know, with someone from her family. And obviously they would let us walk, you know, if we're eating, whatever. And I find it so profound that I would say to her, I would say, you know what's stopping me from touching your hand? It's Allah. Like, just think about it. There is nothing that can stop me from touching you except that Allah has made it haram. Like somebody will come and say, like, really? I'm like, yes, really. Until we do that nikah, I'm not touching you. And it is so amazing that this is what we believe. This is our religion. This is Tawheed. That we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves our obedience. And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. And that is the only thing that is stopping. And wallahi, all it does, it requires is for you to go, have the father, the permission of the wali, have two witnesses, alhamdulillah, and establish a nikah. In a matter of 10 minutes, you are married. Between zina and halal. Like the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and said, you know, the Prophet said to them that you get rewarded for having intimacy with your wife. And they said, how? Really? They said, do you not get a sin when you commit zina? They said, yes. Then how can it be that you don't get a reward when it's halal? So the option is there. Not only is it halal, but you are in a form of charity when you are having intimacy with your wife and when your wife is having intimacy with you. This is our religion. This is what Islam has come to do. So my brother, instead of indulging in these sins with these women, brother, take the halal option. Take the halal option. It's please your Lord, please yourself in a halal way, and inshallah, also being good to your wife, taking care of her, because you don't want to carry those bad traits of, you know, you need to understand these things have an impact on our heart. That's what Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا زِنَا, don't even come near it. You need to also, I would say personally, myself to Myron, yes, it's true, we want you to get married. However, my personal advice, which is taking it to the next level, bro, is detox. Because you're coming from that lifestyle, I would say, bro, take a good couple of months out, away from all women, connecting to your Lord, repenting, cleansing yourself, because you don't want to carry these things that you already have to a marriage that you might break. So I want to give you sincere nasihah that take that gradual step, you know, get closer to Allah, His kitab, and slowly, slowly improve yourself, repent from it. It's not going to be easy. Allah says in the Quran, don't say I'm going to be a believer and not be tested. You are going to be tested. So I would say, and start a family, start a legacy that you always talk about, inshallah, and that you preach towards Dawah, to Islam, in a way where not the old style lifestyle, but it's someone that lived it, that is going to, inshallah, change other young men to not go down this route.
He's probably, before we go on to the next things, he's probably, because Islam is practical, I mean, you know, step by step, and he's probably got how many girlfriends? He cut back on a few, and the four that he has right now, turn it into...
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. You know, or, you know, just, you know, if these women are not good for you, leave them and find, you know, inshallah, try to find a wife. But I would say, you know, the nasihah that I gave, yeah, and gradually and slowly, yeah, do those changes, Yanni.
All right, let's continue on here.
Yeah.
No, I'm not perfect either. Obviously, you know that too. If we die tomorrow, are we going to burn in an oven for committing zina?
No. I mean, right, at some point, you know, all... If I'm not mistaken, if I remember it correctly, all people end up going to heaven that are people of the book. You know, at some point you do. Yeah, you'll have to suffer in hell for a bit. But yeah. If I were to die right now, yeah, I would probably die kafir, which is not good. So I better stay alive and get my shit together at some point.
Yeah, don't die. That's why you stay ready.
Yeah.
It seems like Sneeko's. I mean, he's a little playful, but he's worried. He's more worried. And you could see both of them when he said, are we going to in an oven? And this is the truth, man. You don't want to be burning for a second in the worldly fire. Like Muhammad Ali used to take the match. And he said, man, Muhammad, look, he would say, Ali, Muhammad Ali, the great legend, right? He would say, look, you know, if I can't take this fire, how am I going to take the real fire? You know, 70, how many times hotter? So they're sitting there for a minute thinking about it. Then he's like, nah, don't fool yourself, brothers.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like they were like, okay, yeah, we need to make sure we don't die. The thing is that death is not in your hands.
Tomorrow, today, exactly, can come anytime.
You know, so the thing is, it's like, you know, it's like you're acknowledging that, you know, oh, we shouldn't die because that will happen. But who said death is in your hands? The fact that you acknowledge death is not in your hands should be a U-turn for you. And again, if somebody's repentant, like Sneak has come to Islam, in Shahada, erases all his sins, except those he's maybe wronged people or borrowed money or whatever, the right of the people are separate. But in this situation, Sneeko, obviously, if he's repented, if he's come to Islam and Shahada, he's got a clean slate. Unless he's, you know, been committing sins as a Muslim. Again, he can repent. With Myron, you know, he says something like, you know, he would die as a kafir. No, you're a believer, so you won't die as a disbeliever. But the thing is, again, it's just like, look, you've got nothing to lose. Repent. Build that connection with your Lord. Believe me. There is nothing, no woman, I promise you, there is not a single woman on this earth that will give you the pleasure that you will have with your connection to your Lord and understanding why you're here, where you're going. That is true contentment, bro. There is nothing on this earth that is going to ever replace that. I promise you, no woman, no money, no car, no nothing. Once you have that connection with your Lord and you understand why you're here, where you're going, who your Lord is, what he wants from you, that is the best thing that you can ever have. And there is nothing I will replace Islam with. Nothing. Because it gives me true purpose, true contentment. I know why I'm here. I'm not confused. Who put me here? Where am I going? Why is this happening? Why am I being ill? Why am I being tested? Everything makes sense to me. Everything is made sense to me. So I would say to Myron that, please, just Aki, you know, we're your brothers. You can reach out to us. You don't have to. You can reach out to your other Muslim friends, Sheikh Uthman Farooq, whoever, inshallah. Just reach out and please, just change. You're 33 years old now. Now is the time, man. Death could be around the corner.
And again, this is out of the love.
Yeah, because we care about you, man. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely, yes. Yeah. So let's go ahead and continue.
Your best friend you have in this life is the one who calls you to God. I'm telling you, there is no other friend. Any friend that turns you away from the remembrance of God is a fake friend. He's an enemy. Anyone that you deem to be an enemy who calls you to the remembrance of Allah is your best friend.
Reminds me of the ayah in the Quran, paraphrasing, where Allah is describing a scenario for the person who is like, he's wishing now that he had found a way with Allah, with the Creator and the Messenger. And he sees people in the hellfire and he says, oh, you know, he's so thankful. So for the person in paradise, like, man, I'm glad I didn't follow such and such. Yeah. And he's seeing people in the hellfire.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He says,
Allah's describing the scene.
Yeah, there's the ayah in the Quran. Allah opens a window for him, and he looks in the hellfire, and he sees his friend, and he says, "If only I didn't stop hanging around with you, I was gonna be there with you. If only I didn't make that swift decision of saying, you know, I have to cut this guy, I was gonna be there with you."
That's some. And then you quoted that hadith. I mean, this is powerful. This is authentic hadith, describing the description of people burning in an oven. Can you imagine? It's just horrifying, you know? Why? And these things are there to shake you up, to straighten you up.
Exactly. That's what Allah says in the Quran. We send a small calamity to divert a bigger calamity. The small calamities are things on the day-to-day life that we get hit. Disease, loss of money, loss of family members, loss of this, loss of that. These are the small calamities Allah sends to divert you from a bigger calamity, which is what? Hellfire. Brother, any test in this life you can put up with. But hellfire, you cannot put up with that. So if that little calamity is going to fix you up and make you realize, that is the best thing that has ever happened to you. Because when you stand in front of Allah and you realize a calamity that hit you, be it a disease, be it a loss of money, whatever it may be, if you realize that was the very thing that made you start practicing and repent and get close to Allah,
you're going to be thanking Allah. Oh Allah, thank you so much for sending me that calamity that fixed me up, that I'm standing in front of you today with good deeds and I'm going to enter paradise. That is why Allah says we send a small calamity to divert a bigger calamity, which is the hellfire.
SubhanAllah. Let's continue on.
I don't think it's true. They said like, I don't want to, the girls will say like, I don't want a guy who's ran through. Have you ever stumbled upon Roblox? Like, has that ever mattered to a girl?
No, it never does. And I would argue if you exemplify traits that show that you are promiscuous, you will be more attractive. Versus if a woman shows traits that shows that she's more promiscuous, it will be less attractive. I think girls say that because they think men and women are equal, and they say that to try to like virtue signal or whatever. But the reality is girls want guys that can at least be able to have sex with other girls. I'm not saying you have to enact on it, but they want a guy that can do it.
And also they want you to be able to know what to do without even...
I mean, with the I hate to keep using the valuetainment example, but like I asked the girls, what do you think the average body count is? The average ended up being like 20 to 30. And then I asked all the girls, would you prefer a man that's more sexually experienced than you or less sexually experienced than you? All of them said I would prefer a man that was more sexually experienced than me.
Because they don't want to see you have to like stumble. Like if a girl shy doesn't know what she's doing, that's more attractive. Like you could teach her. A girl doesn't want to teach you.
Yeah, because then that also will make her feel like a slut too if she's teaching you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you really think about it, like when a girl's in the driver's seat teaching you how to bang, like that makes her feel like a whore because she's like, damn, I'm more sexually experienced than this guy. Like, damn. So a girl always, just like a woman wants a guy that's stronger than her, she also wants a guy that's more sexually experienced than her too.
Okay, let me be a bit controversial. Let me be a bit controversial. Not intentionally, but it might sound like that. What they're saying is battle, is falsehood. Go sleep around, etc. Now, and I say this to non-Muslim men, the things that you want to do, like, you know, the haram looks very appealing. Look, it is true that, for example, if a man has, argument's sake, and we can carry this onto Islam, yeah? Let's talk about Islam. They're talking about it from a haram point of view. A man sleeping around and having sexual experience, etc. Let's suppose that, yes, a woman, I mean, there might be some studies that show this, that a woman likes a man that knows what he's doing. No problem, let's go with it. No problem. Now, that can be done in a halal way. How? If a man has a wife, he's married, yeah? Now, of course, when he is married, his sexual urges are a bit controlled because he has a wife that he can be intimate with. Now, this, what this does is it boosts a man's confidence. And we know, due to the hypergamous nature of women, a woman likes a man. Sadly, this is the nature of women. It's like that. They find interest in a man who has a wife or a girlfriend. I've seen this in Jahiliyyah. I'm being honest with you. We've seen it with brothers like in Jahiliyyah where a brother, argument sake, you don't have a girlfriend. Nobody wants to know you. The moment you get a girlfriend, all of a sudden, the attention from other girls are increased. Why? So we understand the psychology of women. So what I'm saying is, as a man, you can be married. And then when you're married, alhamdulillah, you are obviously less desperate. You start moving less desperate. So it can be that your second wife will be more intrigued with you. She's more interested in you. There'll be women that want to marry you. Khalas, do this the halal way. So we're not saying no to it. We're just saying, then let's say there is some facts to what they say, but that doesn't mean you have to be promiscuous. What we're seeing is Islam has given you a solution. If you are a high value man, and not from their content from a red pill, I'm talking about high value man who might have money, wealth, etc. But forget that. A man of taqwa, a man who fears Allah, a man who gives the rights of Allah, a man who protects him from major sins, doesn't go sleep around, a man who has a wife. And if you have those capabilities, go get married again. Yeah, because then you will have some experience as a man being intimate with your first wife. No problem. Let's go with the argument. Fine, just do it the halal way. And there is nothing wrong with this. Some Muslims might listen to this and be like, oh my gosh, Brother Ali, like, what are you talking about? This is haq. This is from Islam. Getting married again, second or third. So what? All it means is, yes, you are a man who, because he's got married two wives, whatever it may be, you are experienced with women. And therefore, you might appeal to more women. Halas, let's go with it. But the point is what again? Islam gives you a solution, a halal solution, not a haram solution by going and sleeping around and committing zina. This has consequences. And not only that, you are initially, and this is what I find a bit ironic, a bit hypocritical to the red pill. You don't want, you dislike women who sleep around, but then you go and say, go sleep around. I don't understand. Women should be virgins, okay, but we're the ones that's going to go and take all their virginities away. Hey, brother, you're the one who's causing the problem in the system, yeah? So it doesn't make sense. Stay away from it. Islam has given you a proper solution. Have another wife, second wife, third wife, a wife, wife, not a girlfriend, not a side chick, not a mistress. So I thought maybe from that angle, maybe it would change their mind to like, okay, this can be practiced, not sleeping around. But if you want to be experienced with women in a righteous way, you honor these women, you marry these women, you look after these women, you have that experience because you have two wives. Halal, do that.
So what's the halal way to learn how to do that stuff?
There you go. I just told you. One second. There you go. I just told you. There you go. There's the halal way.
Because we're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. How do you learn how to like pull a hair and choke properly, or like the right amount of velocity to slap with without that experience? Like how
you would have to get Islamically married, like, and just get a chick and then experiment with her, and then just if you got the money and the resource and the ability to do so, marry another chick and do the same with her. If you're gonna do it, you know, within the confinements. Of keeping it halal is that how you
do it? But look,
it's a simple process, look, of like getting married.
He knows. Look, that's the solution, Myron. You said it with your own mouth. You know this, bro. How could you know this and not implement it, bro? Islam is giving you the solution. And before some people watch this and be like, "Oh my gosh, is woman just something?" No, we're talking about a wife. He marries her. He's with her. He has kids with her. He's spending his life with her, and also gets married again. It's the same. We're not talking about marrying just for the sake of this and get some experience and then chuck her. No. That's why Islam has got protocols in place to protect the woman. Speak to the wali, have a mahar, do a nikah, do the walima. All these things are there. Why? Because genuinely, as a man, if you allow a man to sleep with 100 women, he's going to do it. That's the reason why Allah's put these protocols in place, so a man is in check that if he wants to do it, he's like, here is all the obstacles that I have to go through, and then marry her.
Tough.
Yeah, you can have a, someone was saying like you can have a nikah and then it just like you just need one witness.
Pretty much.
And then you could even divorce. All you have to do is say divorce three times. And
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. It's very, yeah.
It's really simple.
It's very simple. So like to the outside world, right? People that aren't Muslims or whatever, like they will look at it as like it's a boyfriend and girlfriend. But technically you guys are Islamically married, so everything you do is halal. And then you could, I'm not advocating for this, but in theory, you could marry one chick.
That as a loophole to,
yeah, it's kind of like in theory, you can like marry one chick Islamically, have sex with her, everything is halal. Then if she pisses you off, get rid of her or keep her, and then marry another girl.
Divorce. How do you say divorce?
Divorce. Yeah.
How do you say divorce?
Shit, I don't know how to say it in Arabic.
Thank you for the 20, Alibaba. Not Myron. That was definitely the best way to put it.
I think marriage is mazowaj, if I'm not mistaken. Mazowaj? Someone in the chat, correct?
Someone in the chat, yeah, tell me.
Mazowaj. Marriage.
Alibaba says, not mine. That was the best way to put it, but we never know when we're going to die, so repent back soon. Repentance should put you back on the straight path, and you should be good. I'm also on this journey.
Another sign coming his way. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. And also, the only thing I disagree with is this marrying, and then if you don't like her and just divorce her. You know, a woman is not a... she's not an object. You just, you know, just marry and just... You know, I'm not saying that that can't be done. But, you know, the scholars say the nikah is valid. If you're marrying with the intention of divorce, you are it is a sin, but the nikah is valid. But again, you need to be very careful of your treatment of others, because at the end of the day, on Yom Qiyamah, the Salaf used to say, we would rather stand in front of Allah with 70 sins between us and our Lord than one sin that we wronged somebody. Islam gives great emphasis on the right of a human being. Great, great, great emphasis. So we talked about the three conditions if you want to repent, right? There's a fourth condition added if you wrong somebody. So if you go and wrong somebody, at argument's sake, you backbite somebody, the scholars have broken down to such a level that you need to ask for their forgiveness, for the repentance to be accepted. Yeah? Now, if you go to them and say, by the way, I spoke bad of you, and this action, what you said, might cause resentment, they say it's better you don't tell them, but rather, wherever you went and spoke ill of them, speak good of them, and giving charity in their name and make dua for them. This is the right Allah has given to the wronging the right of another human being. So we need to be very careful, this attitude of women are like disposable goods. These are our sisters, these are our mothers, these are our daughters. This attitude is not correct. You wouldn't want that to happen to your daughter. Would you want me coming and saying, yeah, your daughter, I'm going to marry and don't like her, I'm going to say talaq? No. And just to touch upon maybe non-Muslims watching this, the talaq actually, Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir, he actually says, the reason why the talaq was given is to keep the man in check. You might be thinking, how? How does the talaq keep the man in check? Because it seems like he's the one who has the power. Number one, we know from studies that women initiate divorce more than men. If women had the power of talaq, me and brother Eddie and Zisha will be getting divorced by our wives every three and a half minutes. Give me talaq, give me talaq, give me talaq. Okay. So the thing is, yeah, it's there to keep them in check in that aspect where we have the power. Now, Imam Qurtubi says that the mushrikeen, the pagan Arabs, used to abuse the power of talaq. So what they would do is they would say, I divorce you. The woman would want to move on with her life. They would say, no, I'll take you back. Then they would, you know, take them back. When they're bored, whatever, I divorce you. She wants to move on with her life. No, I take you back. And there was an endless cycle. There was no limits. Allah limited it to three to keep the man in check that you can't abuse this power. You give talaq once. Good. She has an iddah period. You take her back. No problem. Second talaq, same thing. You take her back. No problem. Third time, you're in trouble. Because third time, it means that this woman is going to go and get married. Has to go and get married to another man. Have intimacy with him. Have him be married. And if it doesn't work out, then you can marry and try again. But for a man to envision his wife with another man, this is why the talaq is there, to keep the man in check. So he's like, if I give the third talaq, that means that for him, the man is contemplating, she's going to be with another man. If he gives that talaq, he means he doesn't care about that. It's gone beyond that now. So the talaq is there, not for the just for the power of man, but it's to keep him in check. So if a woman wants to move on, she can move on.
I'm willing to give up the 304s for halal wives.
What is this? Some new slang. What is this?
Yeah, basically promiscuous woman.
That's what a 304 is?
Yeah, they call them 304s.
Okay, so you know about this in London also, huh?
Same. Not really. I think it's an American thing. But I got the gist. Like, they will keep repeating. I was like, what does that mean? But yeah.
Yeah. We had a debate about this on the last panel. I want to ask you, like, four wives is really not enough to put the toilet girls aside?
Well, I like the variety, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and try to virtue signal and lie to you and be like, oh, no, I'm going to try. Like, I genuinely do like the variety. So,
I mean, I've tried. I liked smoking weed. I don't smoke weed anymore.
Yeah, but weed is actually, like, bad for your health and shit.
But whores are bad for your health.
Can be, but
whores are bad for your pockets.
Yeah, well, if you wear condoms and don't be an idiot, you'll be straight.
Come on. Come on. Like, bro, no one likes condoms, man.
Hey, I do use them. I do use them. I actually do use them.
But there's other ones.
I'm not going to lie and say every single time, but I do use them a good amount.
But it's not even just bad for, it's bad for your pockets. It's also bad for your time.
True. But it doesn't have to say, I would argue that weed and drugs is a worse vice than females.
All right, so for here, they pretty much, they're going back and forth debating what's worse now, alcohol and weed, which we commend Sneeko, who just recently accepted Islam. And just like Tate also, he gave up alcohol, smoking weed, and now he's trying to get himself right to find himself to have a nikah. And he's trying to persuade his brother here, Marlon, to come along here and to get serious about the deen. What are your comments? What do you think with the way they're going back and forth and with the debate? Which vice is worse?
I think the thing is, yeah, I think they're both in us. Obviously, they're both searching. You know, that's what they're saying, these things, which they're not really versed on. It's just they're like, you know, what do we do? They're just trying to rationalize it. What's worse, etc. To us, Allah has made it very clear. What Allah says is that I don't need to think of like, oh, this is where, if we look at this and that, let's calculate this. This is more harmful. Allah has made it haram. They're both haram. It's as simple as that.
It's done.
Khalas, yeah. You get it. I don't need to calculate and be like, what's more haram? Oh, this one has an effect of out of 10, 9.3, and this one has 9.7. Allah has made it haram. Haram is halal.
Allah made it easier for you.
Exactly. Both... Simple. So I would say to Myron to keep Sneeko close by. He's a good friend. He's somebody that's calling you to good. And yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. This couple of months ago, before Sneeko even came to Islam, maybe even a year ago, people have been telling me to, you know, get in contact with Sneeko, etc. I've just really, really been occupied with a few projects. I have no problem sitting down with him because he's genuinely looking. I would love to sit and talk with him and break things down nicely, you know, step by step, because I think he's got good brothers around him as well. But if he wants to, I'll be more than happy to speak to him. And Myron, if he wants to, again, look, I'm not doing this for clicks. Wallahi, I can talk to you guys off camera all day, every day. We don't need to be on camera at all. You can contact me, like, on my number, whatever, bro. We can sit down. We can have this meeting without it being on YouTube, just like this. As long as it's going to benefit you guys, bro, I'm at your service. Like, please, like, you don't need me. I'm a nobody. There's many better people. If you want to, I'm here. So at least there's no, like, you know, I'm reaching out. If you want to, off camera, However you like, on camera, I don't mind. It's on camera, it's not a must. Whatever you guys want, I just want to, inshallah, give a little advice as your brother. And yeah, that's it. And benefit from you guys as well. I'm sure there's a lot of things I can learn from you guys. And yeah, let's just sit down and let's talk. And yeah, it's that's all I can say. And I relate with you guys. I live that kind of lifestyle. And yeah, look, we'll have a lot of things in common.
Yeah, this is so important, is having good friends. As the saying goes, you're upon the, you know, as the Prophet yes. said, the person is on the way, the religion of his friends. Yep. So be careful who you befriend. Yep. So if you're with friends who are always trying to take you to the nightclub, smoking weed, dope, hooking up, alcohol, and you're trying to be right, like Sneeko's trying to be right, but he's still got all these other friends who are doing the same Jahiliyyah stuff, they're going to venture, you're going to get tempted, and it's, you know, you're going to have your highs and lows, and then you're on your low, boom, you're going to end up back in the club, yeah. and then you're going to end up falling again. So go ahead, here's another thing, we'll go ahead and react to this. This is the last one. I think this is very powerful here, because there's another, some have called him the manager to Andrew Tate. I had him in the studio here, very, very nice brother. He's a good friend with the Tates, brother Jewel. And now pay attention how another sign is coming to the both of them. And I believe this other part of Myron, the other person here, looks like he comes from the Muslim background himself. So let's go ahead and get into this.
Alhamdulillah, Joel, you should bring Myron to the masjid. Don't worry, I will make my return to the masjid.
I'd love to speak on that. So I was in the masjid before coming here.
Allahu Akbar.
I would welcome you, brothers. I mean, come on, you still got time, man. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. No, but it's funny, because, like, giving them down. Point. My family, half of them are Muslim, and like I understand, you know, on some of what the Quran stands for, what the religion stands for, and I do respect it 100%. I just right now I'm not decided yet.
I feel that, man. But look, I put it to you: at some point in your life, I think any rational male who wants to live with traditional gender norms and wants to be, you know what, it's okay to have those sorts of beliefs. It's okay to be that old school guy who believes in honor, who believes in the importance of the family unit, who rejects hedonism. I would like to think that every logical man reading the chessboard will actually think, you know what, Islam makes a lot of sense. Because for me, I get a lot of positive emotions from it. It was purely a logical choice. So yeah. I'd say to everyone out there who's thinking, wait a sec, my values don't match this Western degeneracy. My values don't match all this liberal soy programming. Mm-hmm. I would recommend everyone have a look at Islam, because it's a lot older than we are, and there's a lot of guidance in there, which is extremely relevant for the plight of masculinity today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it solves a lot of the Western problems. It solves all of them, actually.
Again, I'd say to every man who's engaging in a lot of, you know, spinning plates or a lot of short-term relationships, every one of those is a potential time bomb that 10 years later can cause you a lot of problems. You've got to look and see risk versus return. Is that, as I said, that 2 p.m., you know, miserable intimacy really worth planting landmines that can then bite you 10 years later, should a certain woman decide, oh, hang on a sec, I didn't enjoy something about that experience, even though it was completely consensual and there was nothing illegal, I'm going to say I felt that it was illegal. That can end your career. That can end your reputation. Like, it's really serious. And I think a lot of young men aren't aware of how serious it is.
What do you think? That this is really deep now, for profound, to have, like, on this show, Allah sends Jewel, that's the brother Jewel, and he's breaking it down. He's giving these brothers nasiha. Right there, you couldn't have planned this better, on this fresh and fit, whatever you call it, show. And the brother is actually agreeing again. Myron, he's not fighting back. He's acknowledging this. Now it's a difference between acknowledging and action. And then the other guy, I didn't know. It seems like he's Muslim. His family's Muslim, or
he's. I think I saw him. He's a bit. He's like. He said, I don't know, I saw it in some videos. He's like, I think he's a Christian, half Muslim or something like that.
But he ended up in Jummah. And then another sign is coming to him, and the Imam is talking about, well, we're talking about same thing. Is it worth that moment of pleasure, the haram, that now you're going to sacrifice your hereafter? That's eternity. What do you have to say?
Forget, I was like 15, 14 years old. I went to Baltimore to visit family. They're Muslim, of course. And I was in a masjid. And they're speaking in the preaching at that point. And when the head guy speaking, the imam was like, listen, are you going to trade your religion, your beliefs, everything for one bit of
moment of sweetness of sex, like your whole life for a little bit of sex. And I was like, damn, he said 5 minutes of pleasure. And I was like, damn, that stood out to me. However, I will say I'm fighting that battle right now myself.
Deep in the trenches,
so I'm trying to figure it out. But yeah, I get what you're saying 100%.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, Allah seems like Allah is sending signs. And Allah does this. You know why? So on the day of judgment, when your life is taken, you cannot say, I did not know. From Sneeko to this guy, left, right, center, this message, Islam is all over. So Allah is sending clear signs to these people and many people that are watching it, that to turn back to Allah before it's too late. And I don't know what else to say. Like, you know, they are there, they're talking about that. The guy himself is saying, you know, we want Myron to return back to the masjid, etc. That's an outright sign from Allah. Allah wants goodness for you. But if you persist and think like, yeah, I've got time, who promised you? Who promised you this time? Allah, it's to me to know, very simple, to know that I can die any moment is an evidence that I am more closer to the hereafter than I am to this life. To know that I can die any moment is a clear-cut evidence that I am more closer to death than I am to life. Mm-hmm. As simple as that.
This is deep. It's almost finished. Let's go ahead.
Well, look, man, I'm 40 years old, and I'm a man of means. I've engaged in sufficient hedonism to realize that it's genuinely a waste of time. However, when you choose what's known as Sirat al-Mustaqim within Islam, when you choose that straight path, when you're living in a very ethical, very clean life where you're avoiding all that nonsense, which we know is a waste of time anyway.
Yeah.
The energy that you have, the discipline you have on a day-to-day basis, it's a competitive advantage. I am infinitely more disciplined, capable, effective, and driven than I was before becoming Muslim, simply by rejecting all that nonsense and choosing a system for life which is very, very ethical, very clean, very energetically high level. Yeah. You go into clubs where people are drinking, taking drugs, yeah. It drags you down energy-wise.
Yeah.
If you take Islam seriously, every day you're getting a positive, uplifting energy as opposed to the degeneracy which pulls you down. It's real, man. I wouldn't have chosen it if it wasn't. And I'm taking it really seriously because I see, even on a selfish level, I see the benefits in myself. But again, that makes me a better, you know, father. It makes me a better contributor to society. It really is. It's a superpower to make yourself a more effective human. That's my personal experience.
What do you think is the biggest thing that like was like the biggest change converting to Islam, like improved? Was it like maybe cutting out the alcohol? Was it cutting out any type of controlled substances? Well, like what was it that made, like, propelled you?
Okay, so a lot of people say they found Islam at their hardest times. I found Islam in my best times. You know, alhamdulillah, everything is, like, my life is custom-made reality. I practice what I preach. There's nothing I change in my life. Everything is, you know, alhamdulillah, is incredible. However, at a certain point of success, whether it's material or status, all these things, you do wonder what's next. Islam will give you a whole level of depth that you don't really know you're missing until you've stepped into it and gone, oh, hang on a second. There's a real brotherhood in the Ummah. There's a real sense of community there. I've had incredible support coming in. But I'd say the number one thing is I have real accountability now. And this is actually why I chose Islam in the first place. Muslims who take their faith seriously, every act, every action, every interaction, they realize they're accountable to a higher force. They realize they'll be judged, you know, at the end of their life.
Yeah.
So they are almost forcing themselves, the ones who take the faith seriously, to act in a way that we know we should anyway. So for me, as a man who knew I shouldn't drink, knew I shouldn't engage in certain things, I can now cut that out. And I've got a very strong sort of, even more powerful than self-accountability, I have accountability to what I view to be the most powerful, you know, entity or being in the world. That is a very strong way to keep yourself on that straight path. You know, I mean, especially you got your money right, you got status right. There's a lot of temptation there. Let's be real. It is not hard to live a life of hedonism nowadays.
Yeah.
Whereas Islam to me is that push to make sure that you are ignoring that and you're focusing on what you know is meaningful, what you know is beneficial for your family, for your brotherhood, for society. It keeps you disciplined. That's the number one benefit that I've experienced.
Right. So in closing now, there was a lot said there. He talks about it's a waste of time. Jewel going on to explain, you know, all the benefits. And this is somebody who, again, the dunya has opened up to him. He's went down that life of debauchery, you know, changing women. And just to hear him on the program actually giving nasiha advice to these, to both of these brothers here, you know, this just amazes me. Also, you couldn't have planned this. Allah is the best of planners. Look at it. Now it's on them, like you were saying. Also, this is that those signs that come, and to reflect, you know, to really think about it. And it's interesting when people are really in a state of consciousness, they're listening, like they're listening to him, they're absorbing. But then now, what are you going to do with it? And then you go on in life and you forget and you go back into the hedonism. You go into, fulfilling your lusts and desires. You're not around good company, someone to remind you. That's why it's so, so important to be around brothers like that. Be around brothers, you know, who are going to remind you, who are going to strengthen you, help you. Now brothers are going to be like, hey, you ready to go hook up? You ready to go get some 304s? How does that go?
Yeah, literally. Subhanallah. Yeah, it is, you know, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. And to me, like I said before, to see that these people like themselves who are living that kind of lifestyle, and Islam came for them. You know, I do Dawah in Speaker's Corner every Sunday. And, you know, I was there, I was trying to, like, there was some party happening and there was a lot of gay people, there were trans people. And I was trying to stop them. And one brother was like, oh, you know, why are you stopping them? I said, brother, Islam came for them. Do you think Islam came for the righteous? And what do you want to do? Stop the mu'min who's praying? Yeah, and Islam came for these people. Islam came for the ones that are lost. So the thing is there, it's that seeing these people who are coming from that lifestyle, Islam came for them to make them a better person, to make them the best version of their self. And only Islam can give them that. You can never become a high value man, or whatever you name it, just with money and this, that, when you're spiritually dead. You know, you're spiritually starving. So these people have been literally like that. And now when they come to Islam, they understand. They realize, because when you are dealing with materialistic things, you think this is the only form of pleasure. When you understand, and once Allah gives you the sweetness of faith, you realize what real pleasure is about. You then realize and say, you know what, oh my gosh, all this time I was thinking, what, having girls, money, cut this up, but get out of here, please. To know that you're spiritually satisfied, and to know that you're, why you're here, where you're going, having a purpose, being content, I'm telling you, it is the best form of, a pleasure you can have. That's what Allah says in the Quran, only in my remembrance do hearts find peace. And if you forget my remembrance, you will have a depressed life. In this life, the only thing that gives us contentment is the remembrance of our Lord. And in Jannah, what is the best thing that we're going to have in Jannah? Hur Ain? No. It's the face of Allah. We are going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the pinnacle of pleasure in Jannah. Forget all this Hur Ain and this, that, la, la, la. To see Allah and be awe, that's what it is. So in this life and the hereafter, it is only Allah that gives us content and happiness.
At the end of the day now, when someone looks at, these are the things that's either they have some doubts. So if Byron or any of them, if they have some doubts, they should connect with people of knowledge to clear these doubts. And then there's desires. Those are the things that usually hinder people from really submitting themselves fully and following some properly. So what other advice do you have now? Obviously, you know, anybody who really looks into Islam like Jewel did, you know, and others, Nico, when you look at the evidence and proof, without a shadow of a doubt that it is indeed not man-made or from a group of men, it is indeed from the creator of the heavens and the earth. The authenticity of the Quran, the preservation, all the signs that are in there, prophecies, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, if you look at his life, you know, too much to talk about now, but you can go ahead and look into this. And now when you realize, you know, death is a reality, we talked about that. We talked about the hellfire paradise. When you put things in perspective that you can die at any time, you know, really think about that. That should be a motivation now to take those steps now towards what we've been talking about this whole time. Don't you think?
Exactly. That's what it is. You know, at the end of the day, you know, that's what I would say, you know, opening the Quran and also having that connection with Allah, making dua, asking, you know, my Lord, guide me. That's guide all me. It takes, man. People confuse this matter and make it so difficult. Bro, it's just not. Turn to your Lord. Is it really hard? You know, is it so damn hard to put your hands up and say, my Lord, please guide me. That's it. I'm sincerely looking for guidance. And you can see that. Without maybe even asking, Allah is sending people like Sneeko and this other brother to you. Imagine what could happen if you ask him. It's as simple as that. The recipe is simple. It's the Quran. It's simple.
I'm going to give Myron some homework. Real simple. Basic. Before he goes to his next after party or he goes, why don't he start, or before we get to this party part, start going to Jummah. Start praying at least one. We know it's obligatory 5 times a day. Start playing 1 time a day. How's that? 1 time a day. Start with 1 time. Myron, you could do that.
If he doesn't know how to pray, our charity, Salam, we have
a guided prayer mat.
Beautiful.
I'll send it for free, wherever you want. It doesn't need to be addressed. It's a guided prayer mat that shows you step by step how to pray. You can pray immediately. You just put it in front of you and you follow it. We can teach you. Look, off camera. I don't want to be on camera. I don't want credit. I don't want nothing. It doesn't even have to be me. If you don't want it to be me, it can be someone else. We just want goodness for you. I will send that prayer mat to Sneeko, to Myron, to anyone who wants it, because people have donated to it. People donated it. We would love for you guys to pray. We'll send it.
So you got that free. What excuses you got now? Start praying. Juma, once a week. Juma, make the time. Go. Sneeko's going. Go to Juma with him. Start praying one time a day and then start building from there. Simple, right? Yep. And get these girlfriends, the 304s, into or the whatever they call the other ones into
wives, or just leave them and just find proper woman.
Yeah, and we'll go from there. Hopefully, inshallah, this could be a benefit. We did this out of love.
We can do your nikah. Khalas.
Yeah,
it's all sorted, mate.
So seriously, this is out of the love for these brothers. We want good from them. We come from that. You come from that back, that history, that lifestyle. We've been there. We've done that. And alhamdulillah, I'm telling you, this is the way. Just like Jewel is saying. The same thing. We're repeating the same thing. Hopefully now it's on them. They can feel the love, look at really the place of sincerity we're coming from, and they can start to, you know, implement some of these things and see this as another sign that's coming to them. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Thank you, Ali.
No problem. May Allah bless you, inshallah. It was a pleasure. And inshallah, I look forward to seeing you in Chicago in November.
Inshallah. also at the Dean Center. All right, guys, so we signed everything here. Bismillah. Now we're off to the next step. We gotta get the keys now.
يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم مرحبا ويا هلا فيكم انتم منا واحنا فيكم بالمحبة نحييكم يا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا
Of Muslims around here, it's pretty huge, and the place, the location that you opened in, basically it's further south from the other big masajid, and everyone, I know a lot of people that I come, my cousin lives 9 minutes from here, another uncle of mine lives about 5 to 10 minutes from here. This area, the masjid, alhamdulillah, opened up in an area that it's much needed, and this size, this center is much needed for this area, and the idea of this center is needed for the whole state, because we don't have anything like that in the whole state. The da'wah center where it's going to basically nurture and basically educate, and it's going to basically spread Islam.
Yeah, it's 100%. I'm really looking forward to it, because we need to be meaning to raise funds for that as well, inshallah, so we can do some videos and I can use it finally, inshallah. It's been very, very hectic for me. But yeah, definitely, inshallah. May Allah bless it. And have you guys reached the amount yet? Or you guys?
No, we purchased the property. Okay. Now we're in phase two, build out, remodeling.
Oh, perfect. Okay, yeah. I would love to, if there's any, when I come, I don't mind, you know, painting. If there's anything you need me to do, I want to be hands-on. I don't want it to be just like a video. So I'm more than happy to come, help. If there's anything to do, wallahi, I would genuinely, I'm a hands-on guy, you know. As you know, when I deal with Tommy Robinson and, you know, these kind of people, I deal with them face to face. So when it comes to the masjid, inshallah, I don't want to just help raise funds. I also want to be involved, inshallah. If it's painting, I'm good at some stuff, yani. Don't get it twisted. I can do some stuff. So it'll be nice to do that just when I come.
Thank you, brother. No Allah bless you. See you soon, inshallah.
Take
care. Assalamu alaikum wa
alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions, about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.